There was a time when my heart was so lonely. There was a time I was living sin. Then one day I heard a sweet voice calling, "Look out, you belong to me." I belong to you, Lord Jesus, for you have said. Was the voice of my Lord who was calling, "He, Jesus, my Savior is He." I'm so glad He called and I started crying, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I belong to you, Lord Jesus, for you have set me free. I belong to you, dear Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Now's the time that I walk with Him closely, day to day, now that I am set free. Should one day I hear His voice come shouting, "Rise up and sit down by me. I belong to you, Lord Jesus, for you have set me free. I belong to you, dear Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me." Hallelujah. Gracious Heavenly Father, blessed be the holy name, Lord. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, O Father, for your faithfulness to your word of promises, O Lord. And being that we are your children, Father, you watch over us, O Lord, and you care for us, Lord, in every way. In this life that we live, you are just taking this pilgrimage to this world that is not our home. We thank you, Father, for your blessing. So now, Lord, as you approach thou once again, bless the Holy Word, Lord. Amen. Open our hearts to understanding of the Word, to the hearing, O Lord, of it, Lord, and that we may comprehend the things that you want us to know in this hour that we live in now, Father. Help us all to be ready for what's coming. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be. I wonder how many of you remember 2 years ago I preached on a message, "The Winds Are Blowing." And that was the year 2020. In the month of May, I think I preached it on the 3rd or 5th, I can't remember now. the first Sunday of the month or something like that. And that was about 5 months after the COVID started, in the late of, part of the year 2019 in China. So I had this vision. Now let's look at this picture that a vision there. So I hope, I don't know how many of you remember what I said in that particular sermon, which I entitled, "The Winds Are Blowing." You know, this vision came to me, I think, about on a Thursday, if I remember on that particular week. You know, and I don't want to go into too much detail on this, but how that vision came and why it appeared, but it was when I was like preaching in Brother Jimmy's home here. Then I noticed this bright light that came up in the heaven. And I was telling everybody to look, and as I went up to look into the sky, I saw this cloud with this radiated sunlight that comes from behind. If you have, many of you have seen this kind of phenomenon in the sky. And right in the center of this cloud, where the lights come up, like, big light, stream of light comes up. And in front of me, I saw this group of men. Oh, I call them angels because in the vision, I mean, they don't have wings, of course. They were standing there looking into this bright light that comes up, expecting for something. They're just standing there waiting. And, and the moment I saw that, next moment I saw this American eagle appear, as you see in the image here. But it did not fly. It just, an image just appeared. You know, like you would have an image that you get it from, what I show you on the picture here, just something like that. The American eagle is a boy eagle, of course. And it just came, appear in front of the cloud. As if, as it appeared, then it started to fade away. And as it was fading away, behind the eagle appeared slowly a brown bear, like you see in the picture here. The brown bear slowly appeared. And after a while, the whole vision went out. Now, if you remember in that message, when I shared with you this vision, now, it was at that time, particularly as well, not just because of the pandemic, the COVID that came, but because America had an issue with China. It's a whole lot of problem with China, So, which had been going on, of course, in a few years earlier, that builds up to that, and something about even the 5G issue, want them to go out, and I think the woman was arrested or somebody wanted to be persecuted. I can't remember now all that. So that was a lot of issue, and nobody take much notes about what's going on Europe, because for example today, the problem now in the news, you will see every day will be Ukraine, Russia attack Ukraine, blah blah blah. And just prior to that, of course, is America saying, oh, you see, they're going to attack, so there has been the thing. But 2 years ago, I told you that, in this vision, I don't see the Chinese dragon appearing in this vision. And I told you all that, what America is doing with China now and all this, it will fade away. And the whole thing will be with the Russian bear. And that's why the Russian bear came up. Now, I don't know how many of you know, I already told you before, American symbol is the American eagle. Even though Benjamin Franklin prefer to have the American turkey. It be the symbol. And it is said that Russia's symbol is a double-headed eagle. But, of course, that's what you see. But the Russian has always been using the brown bear. Back in the 16th century. Because there's a lot of bear in Russia, brown bear, not black bear. And if you ever seen, how that they even train the bear to dance so that the men, would catch this bear and then train the bear to dance and do some tricks, like a circle on the streets, to collect money. What we call that, busker, you know? Busker, something like that. So the bomb has always been a symbol of Russia and America, call them the what you call the clumsy bear, you know, because bears are a bit clumsy, you know, and things like that. Well, so there has always been that symbol, the brown bear. So that was 2 years ago. So when I look at what we are seeing today in the world today, all right, and that's the issue now, because America has been doing that. It's always on the forefront, and Russia is in the background saying, no, we are not attacking Ukraine, things like that. No, the Biden and all those out there in the government, you know, body and all that saying, no, Putin is lying and all this and this and that. But, you know, so finally, of course, we see in the news, Russia invade Ukraine. Now, that's one side of the story. Now, because the reason why I bring this in is because we are talking about be prepared for what is coming. Now, there's only one side of the story. Now, Sister Lucy Tang sent me always, like to send me, you know, links to Amir Safadi's, you know, he's a Jewish man who says a lot. You know, a lot of Christians are very interested in Bible prophecy. What's coming? What is this? This is the answer. So, you know one thing? A lot of Christians think that Russia is bad. Russia is always bad. They are the bad guy. Because the Bible prophesied, they are the bad guy. You know, when we talk about the Bible prophecy, look at Bible prophecy as Bible prophecy. Don't call them the bad guy. Russia, the bad guy, this and that. You know, Putin has always been tolerating. Now, we need to know the history of why Putin is don't want anybody to claim that area of Ukraine. A lot of people do not know. They say, oh, Russia, Putin had planned all these years. Of course, he'll be planning because he don't want the West, the NATO, the EU, to be pushed all the way from the West, from, United Kingdom is no longer part of EU anyway. But he doesn't want all that being pushed, NATO being pushed to all the way towards Russia. You know. So, but America is always like that, doing that. And there's always, of course, been a lot of people who do not really do history research and why and things like that, think that Russia is always the bad guy. Now, Russia will be the bad guy because somebody make them the bad guy. Now, I want to tell you this is true. The Bible said the roach is coming down, right? Yeah, we know that. But why are they coming down? Let me tell you, is Israel the bad guy? No, don't say he's a bad guy, but again, because God said, whosoever bless Israel, they'll be blessed. Whoever curse you, will be cursed, right? You wish to know the history of who Israel is. And you think that Israel are all good guys? We read the Bible, yes, God have chosen them. Not because they are good. It's because God chose Abraham. But the descendant of all that, they turn back. History proved that. It's in the Bible. Yes. But you know, well, as we go along, we'll see. So let us go to Revelation chapter 8. Now, I'm going to talk today about a little bit, because there's a lot of things that I want to talk about. Little bit here, a little there. Every Sunday I should go along with this series. Now I want to share with you something. Do you remember that we have the convention, or international convention, Brother Andrew Peary organized? And then we have this Brother Tim McKay of US who shared with us. Now I want you all, to, if you can, you know, yeah, he has a lot of good things that he preached, that posted on the YouTube. And a lot of things you can learn too. And a very balanced brother. I like him. You see. So he has a series that is very long. You know, it's I think 16, part 16, something like that. He takes a little part every Sunday. So it's something that we can go on and look and learn also to gain more insight. Because I believe the fivefold ministry, you know, we're all complementing one another, supplementing one another, things like that in the ministry. All right, so now let's go to Revelation chapter 8. I want to take this about the seventh seal. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And that's about it. And he stopped right there. And then, you need, next verse says, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now, for those of us who have come to the understanding about the Word of God, and why the Word of God are not always to be taken literally, okay, another is the Word of God written in, especially when it comes to prophecy, they are not written necessarily in sequence. Because if we read it as if in sequence, then a lot of things are all just messed up. Okay, so we understand this because that is vision shown to John, part. The next moment, that's another vision, part, another vision, another part. But they are not in the sense of sequence. Alright, that sort of thing. So now when we look into Revelation chapter 8 verse 1, here we have the seventh seal, the last of those seven seals that was on the scroll. And I said already that the book, the scroll can never be fully opened until the seventh one is broken. Huh? Do you understand that? So, when the first seal was broken, nothing comes out from the scroll. When the first seal was broken, there was a manifestation, something happened. And one of the others said to John, come and see. Well, that's what we translate, but rather, go see. Go see. So each seal that is broken, something happened to show what event will take place in the future of John's time. You know? So, by the time that he opened, by the time that the seventh seal was broken, once it's broken, you can unfold the scroll. And that's what the Bible said. It was silent for a space of half an hour. Now, this is a picture that you need to understand. Because if somebody, okay, let's have for example, how many of you ever read novels? And you enjoy the novels, by the time you read about one third of the book, and then you just want to find out, what's at the end of it? What's actually the end of the story? You know what I mean? Huh? So you want to hurry up, you know. But sometimes you peep at the end and see what's the end result. So it's the same thing when the scroll, the seventh seal is broken. There was a suspense. Because now you can open the scroll and make a declaration of whatever is written there. So the whole heaven is silent. So verse 2 has nothing to do with verse 1. And now, my friend, as I said many years ago, the word end, every verse you read in this, well, practically almost every verse begins with the word end. So he says it's a conjunction. No, it's not a conjunction. Yeah, but it is a conjunction. Are you telling me that I'm stupid? No, I said, no, you're not stupid, but the word end is var in the Hebrew. I mean, this is Greek, of course, it's kai. Okay, but it's not the way you think it has conjunction. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? Like those who believe in the fourfold ministry, and the preacher, the man who wrote the book, the ministry of iniquity, a mystery of iniquity, was trying to argue with me that the word, that the fivefold ministry, not fivefold ministry, is fourfold ministry by cause of why? Because the Bible said he gives up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, and teacher. So, apostles is one, prophet is one, evangelist is one, pastor, Kai, teacher is only one. Pastor and Kai, and teacher are not two. They are just the same man. Wow. So what do you expect Paul to write? Apostles, prophet, he gives out apostles, prophet, some teacher, some evangelist, some pastor, some teacher, without the word end to finish it off. You see, the problem is that we have people who think that they know what they do not know. And they created this issue. You see, a conjunction is a conjunction. But not necessarily that the word and in the way that the scripture is written is a conjunction. And I told you this. That when the word va is you or and is you is in the Bible, what God is trying to say is that trying to show is that all His words are all connected. Like it or not. Do you know that Genesis is connected to Ephesians, is connected to Revelation, is connected to Deuteronomy? They're all connected. It's just a big 10,000 pieces of jigsaw puzzle. Every piece is connected. Is that right? Because when you form the picture, everything is connected. You see. So he's hanging a curtain. That's what it is in the tabernacle of Moses. They all are bound together. They're hooked together. You know, the whole thing, one seamless flow. But they're all in pieces. Because you cannot form a whole huge giant piece of a curtain. You see. Alright, so we need to understand. So now with Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, the seventh seal. What is this seventh seal then? When you open, why is this silent? So we understand by Revelation, understanding and learning all these years, it goes to Revelation chapter 10. Now let us read Revelation chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. Now, let me say this. Now, when we read the whole Revelation chapter 10, or whenever we read the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, when you get the word, I saw another angel. Now, there are some theologians, some preachers, they just simply, whenever they see an angel, okay, for example, the angel who had the key to the bottomless pit. Okay, I think that will be, let's go to chapter, now this is a teaching session, okay, I'll be going back and forth a little bit, trying to pick up something to make you understand. Chapter 20 verse 1. Got it? Alright, chapter 20 verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, some are saying that this angel is Jesus Christ. He represents Christ. Because he has the key to the bottomless pit. And how did they get that? Because they refer to scripture where in another place where the one who sits upon the throne of David, he has the key of David and so on, has the key to the death and hell. So they say it's the same angel. Now we know that Christ has the key of death and hell. Of course. Because if you do not believe it, now what is the key? Remember Jesus Christ said that upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. So what is the gate? What is the key? When the Bible talks about gate, door, key, water. All these are symbolic many times. So what is the key? So your key to the kingdom of God is Christ. If you don't have the key, where do you go? You see? The oracles came to us through the gates of Israel. Remember that? Yes. And with the oracles, the 12 foundation were laid because of the apostle who brought forth the gospel and preached it. Laying the foundation of the oracles of the word of God properly as to who Christ was to the people back then and to us today. So, what we need to understand, we cannot just pick this verse of chapter 20, you know, the angel with the key to the bottomless pit, oh, that's Christ. No. So that is bad as Sadducees. Okay? So now when we look at mighty angel in chapter 10, okay, let's read it. How do we know that this mighty angel is actually Christ? Representing him. Or in the vision that signifies him. How do we know? Because within the context in itself, you can see. I saw another mighty angel came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head, and his face as was the sun, and his feet was as pillar of fire. So he had the rainbow.
around his head. Chloe has a son. I mean, this signifies who he was. No? Do you all get it? Alright. And he had in his hand a little book. And he sat in his right foot, sat his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. So now, as I said, this is a vision that John saw. It was given to him to see. And he cried a loud voice, saying, as a lion roars. So now here is another thing. Here is where another clue is given to you. Roar is a lion. Alright? And when he had cried, Samantana uttered their voices. And when Samantana had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up those things which the Samantana uttered and write them not. So here become a mystery. Because John heard it, and I want to emphasize this, because I think that, in denomination, in tradition, they particularly do not understand, not in this part of the ministry, on the mysteries, but the mysteries that are all over this book of Revelation. Huh? And I really want to thank God that this book, this Revelation, the book of Revelation is open up to us to see more than we could have seen if we were to be in the system or the tradition. We'll be lost in it. So now this someone thunder uttered their voices. They uttered. That means that they used something. They used their voice box. Huh? Uttered their voices. A phoné means a message. They uttered. And John heard them. And they are how many? They are not one voice. Why would you clearly say that? You know, verse 4. And when the seven daughters had uttered their voices. Do you know one thing? Let me say this. Years ago, when I first read the contender of Brother Jackson, where he talks about the seven thunder. And he just said, seven daughters are seven men. But there was no clear definition or clear explanation of how is it so that this seven daughters are seven men. So when he preached that, you know, back in those years, I did not come to Revelation. So I just put it on the shelf. Because all my understanding about the seven spirits, they have seven parts to do. But when it comes to these seven thunders, I just cannot understand how the Brother Jackson said, they are seven men. So it was only after that I sat down to write the book of Revelation. They are all together 22 chapter. Alright. And God has left out the chapter 23. Okay, so you don't have to worry about that. So, when I was writing that one chapter every time, so that we could put it, print it out. So when I came to this chapter 10, I got stuck with this chapter because I just sat at my table and I said, Lord, how can I continue writing now? I need to know what these seven thunders are. I was at a computer typing away, studying, and I really come to this point. I just put my head in my hand and I said, oh, Lord, I do not know. I pushed myself away from the table. I still remember that. I put myself away by the table and sit there and said, Lord, I need to know them because I cannot continue writing without knowing. So when I pulled myself back to the table, this Bible was open on the side because the keyboard was in front of me. So I happened to turn my head and I look at the verse, and very strangely, like the word, their voices pops up. They keep on popping up, to me. That's what I remember back then when, the Lord called. Coming back from my backsliding when the preacher was pointing his finger here and there, all I see was a big thing pointing at me, come home. You're just in a trance. So when I look, I see the voices. Then it hits me. Those are men. Because the only creation They have voices. They can speak. Or the angel. Besides, of course, God speak. The angel and men. Hey, but Brother Gan, the parrot spoke. I mean, the parrot speaks too. I said, yeah, they speak. Tell the whole conversation. Tell the whole conversation. When you ever get a parrot, I know Brother Pratsi loves fish, but try to get a parrot, you know. And then teach the parrot. Every morning you get up saying, Polly, good morning. After a while, you keep on saying that, she will say good morning to you. Whenever you get out, go to the kitchen, she sees you, good morning, good morning. That's how you would say. And I bet you I can get into 100%. If you go in the kitchen at night, she will say, good morning, good morning. So, you think that is a parrot who's able to have a conversation? No. The parrot is just mimicking. Yes. That's what they do. That's why I have sometimes, you know, I see some strange people. I mean, Christian, especially preacher, they don't know what they are talking. Oh, yeah, violence, donkey talk. Oh, yeah, donkey talk. If only you can hear how foolish they really are. So now, that makes us to understand. And we know that God used angels, you know, to minister to His people. Right? That's right. Paul had an angel minister to him. So did Brother Branham. So I believe that every one of us have angels ministering, because the Bible said they are ministering angels. Only many times we don't see them. They're guiding you. They're watching over you. You see. So, that's what it is. So, I understand what the voices are. So, I want you to keep that in mind. So, John heard it, but John was told to not to write. So, even not writing means you don't find it in the Bible. It cannot be in the Bible. You know. But some people, you know, and some message, oh, but Brother Bram said, yeah, it must be in the Bible, and that's what the seals are when it's open. So, the seven thunders are the seals when they open. So, people get confused. Now, when I say this, of course, those who are out there happen to come upon wanting to know what Brother Gan is teaching, and they try to blackball me, of course they will say all kinds of things. But never mind. We are just looking at the scripture on this. All right, let's go on. Verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift up his hand to heaven and swore by him that live forever and ever who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now, when John was about to write, and the voice of heaven said, don't write it, John, seal it up. Now, there is something here that many people will miss. Here is a vision that showed the angel come down to claim the earth, put his right foot in the sea, then his left foot upon the land, because he had that little book was hand open to declare, this is mine. That's my title deed. I come to claim what belongs to me. He goes to the Gentile first, then he goes to the to the Israel. Say, I'm come to claim all that which belong to me. All whose name is in the book of life, and whatever belongs to me. You know one thing here, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Not the world. Some people don't mix up the world with the earth. The world is a system. It's a cosmos. And as far as the world is concerned, it belongs to the devil. Right. But the earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof. If what belongs to God, it belongs also to us. Blessed are the peacemakers, or they shall be called the sons of God, and blessed are what they shall inherit the earth. Remember the beatitude. That's right. You see, you must understand this. So when the mighty angel came down, his book was open, he declared that he's taking it back. So, because when he came down with his open book and roared with the lion Because he is a king now. He's come to take his domain. He take his kingdom. The seven thunder uttered their voices. That which will end everything. But this is a vision sent to John about certain events that must unfold. And that's why the angel, it seems the angel shows, you know, it just kind of, the vision shows that, well, this was say upset. That he did not immediately, you know what I mean, able to take what belongs to him. Because here was a, well, was an interruption. Something going to take place first. And that's what the angel, you know, swear by him to live forever and ever, who created heaven and so on. And in verse 7, it says that. He said this. The mighty angel said, I have claimed. And then verse 7 said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophet. So when John saw this vision where the angel claimed, you know, swear by him, then John was given the revelation. But in the days of the voice of some angel, when his message goes forth, then he said, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, mystery of God here, to many end time message people who are very tied up with Brother Abraham's books and tapes instead of the Word of God, they say this mystery of God is, do you know what that is? To many of these people? Anybody? You know what they say? Remember, Brother Abraham preached one message called Christ, the mystery of God revealed. So they say that in the day when Brother Abraham came to preach, the mystery of who Christ is will be revealed. Brother Abraham preached the message, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. There you go. It is finished. You know, I don't know how they jumped to that conclusion. Do you think that they are Paul doesn't know who Christ was? Don't tell me those Christians in Bible days, they don't know who Jesus was. They knew. But the way this man of mine comes along and said that. And then some say, oh, the mystery of God. Oh, all the mysteries of God are revealed by Brother Branham. Now, the Bible says mystery of God, not mysteries. The mystery of God was taught by Paul in the book of Romans. Huh? How that the gospel which was given to Israel, because God dealt with them, that he showed them people, God had planted them so that he could go to the Gentiles and take the Gentiles on the wild olive and grab into the natural olive plant. And this gospel that came to us Gentiles was located at a time until the fullness of that time is finished. Until the fullness of all the Gentiles that was to be saved comes in, then it will be over. Then the mystery of God would be finished. Finished means ended. Do you get it? And you know, we're not far from that. Because the message has come to us. The bride is getting herself ready. And then there's a transition. As you know, the gospel has now more or less been some Jews coming to know the gospel. Verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake again unto me and said, go and take the little book which is open in thy hand, in the hand of the angel, which stand upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it, and it shall make your belly bitter, but it shall be to your mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ended up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, that's John. And John represents the beloved of Christ. And that's why, you know, he was the youngest of all the disciples and he was always very close to Jesus Christ. And that's why he was given the book of Revelation. And that's why, you know, he was always called the beloved apostle. And then there's connotations that we should know. That John represents the bride. And the bride was supposed to eat this whole book. And because we are in Revelation chapter 10, this book, you understand, is being opened up to us and we are to eat it. There are things that I don't think the denomination would know. Hidden mystery did not unfold to us. And we are eating. And as the angel said, eat it, it will be sweet to your mouth. But when it gets into the belly, it's bitter. Do you know what I mean? Everybody said, oh, what a revelation. Oh my, you know how they would. I remember back then in the 70s when I came into the message and you hear all these believers get excited, but I don't know what happened to them now. They always say, hey, do you know God's not a prophet? God's not a prophet. Hey, do you know serpent seed? Do you know serpent seed? Wow, what a mystery, what a great revelation. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? And you know, they talk so much about it. But what does the word do to you when you eat it? When you really eat the word, that's why some people do not want to know more about the Bible. Why? Because the Bible said, Jesus said, the more that is given to you, the more that is required from you. Ah, so because of that, I don't want. The less I know, I close one eye, I love. Yeah, just 1% wouldn't be enough. You know what I mean? Simple, huh? Because the more that I know, the more I respond to it, you know what I mean? Yeah, the more I require it. That is true, isn't it? But let me tell you this, brothers and sisters, whether you want to eat more of it or not, you haven't come to the light of this gospel. The very first step. Already, you are required to fulfill the word. Do you get what I'm saying? Huh? That's not why what the Bible is so particular about. Like I said this many times. Does God mean what He says and says what He means? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? Right? For example, in the church, the Bible said the woman keeps silent. But you know, out there in the system, I called the one woman to be preaching. What else? A woman! She have long hair. But I still know that some of you, sister, not keeping your hair long. Now you're responsible to fulfill the word of God. And if you think that you can just go along and say, oh, you know, I got lies and all this, that one of the sisters many years ago complained about it. Lies because she kept hair long. So everybody who have long hair have lies. Is it true? In India, there are a lot of women having long hairs. So there must be full of lies then. Huh? So there is no excuse for the sister not to keep long hair, not to dress proper, to be modest, cover yourself, not to be vain, and a man to behave like man, so to speak. This is a responsibility because you know the truth and it is required, therefore, that you fulfill the word of God. And did just like what Jesus told John when he went down the water to be baptized. John said to him, you know, I need to be baptized by you instead. Jesus said, no. It behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. What is righteousness? What is to, how do you fulfill righteousness? What is righteousness? Why do you get righteousness? The word of God is righteous. Righteousness is in the word of God. Behove us to fulfill all righteousness, fulfill the word of God, all that which is right. Do you understand? So it's John's duty to fulfill what the word required him to do. Not by Jesus Christ or somebody else. That's why it is important for us, every one of us. You say, I'm not a preacher. So, if you're not a preacher, then you don't do anything in the body of Christ. We all have a place in the body of Christ. Every one of us. And if you want to just a nail in the house of God, it holds up a beam, a little part of a beam somewhere, then you'll be a good nail and do it and hold it. And not be a wishy-washy. You know, I the way I see it, what's going on in the world today, what's out there in the political world, the lies that they have. Myself, I was just watching that one of the video by that Mayor Shemael, you know, and he has one lecture where he entitled, Why Do Leaders Lie? Why leaders lie? He was talking about political leaders. But the same thing, that what happened in political war is happening in the Christian churches. And in the end time message, there are so many people that lie. Yeah, I'm going to post it up on my Facebook. People make all kinds of comments, of course. They're thinking that, but somebody lied about you, forgive him. Yeah, that's one thing to forgive, but what kind of lie is it? What kind of lie is it? That's why even that lecturer talked to, I think he talked about the different varieties of lies, the different kinds of lies. Yes, exactly what the Bible tells us. As I was shouting with the brother when we went out, I went out with them on a Wednesday. People do not understand what iniquity is. And I need to emphasize this many times to those brethren I care for. To those who I care for. If you are not mine, that's you can believe whatever you want. I'm not responsible for you. Some people say, hey, brother Gan, we are all responsible for one another. Are you my brother? If you are my brother, are you a true brother or are you a false brother? Because the Bible talks about false brethren. Because there are many false brethren. Was Hymenaeus a true brother? Philetus, Alexander? Why did Paul mention their name? So I will emphasize this on point. Say, brother God, you're really angry. I am angry. Because the flame of fire is in my heart. Since the day that God called me, Jeremiah said, the word of God burns within me. If we cannot hate sin, then something is wrong. I don't hate the brother who lied about me, but I hate that sin that he committed. Because why? That iniquity put the third party on an unbalanced queue. Do you understand that? That's why their deception is very dangerous. That's why we have politics out there, politicians that lie and do all sorts of things. And people have become so deceived. Mm-hmm. And you see the amount of lie that is churned out in American politics. A lot of people, when the news came out, a lot of people don't understand. They think that it's real. Yeah. I remember there was a news a couple of years back. I can't remember what was the problem. It's about Syria or something where, you know, they showed the news reporter over there. Look what happened. Just look at the children. You know, there were all these, what kind of bombs that causes the eyes to tears. Tear gas, yeah. They throw this again on this, and so they show these kids who will pour water, you know, they pour water onto their eyes, and, you know, and then the camera man were taking that, and then reporter, see, look what Israel did, what Russia did, what all this bad guy did to, you know. If you look at that video carefully, the whole thing was a stage. But the world who doesn't pay attention will think it is because they hate Israel. Or they hate Russia. And they will say, wow, what a bad thing that they do. A lot of things they will stage. Even the migrant that came all the way from South America, through all the way to Mexico to America, remember? During the election time between Trump and Democratic. Yeah, a lot of things are hostage. Yes. But you just see the news, wow. But you don't look at it further. Just the people look at the Bible, oh yes, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. You don't care about the rest of the Bible. What the Bible else that Jesus said? Huh? Isn't it? Did you repent? Because Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? You get it? Yeah, but I believe in Jesus Christ. Isn't that not enough? Because John 3:16 said so. Are we serious about what we believe? Do we know who we are? Do we know who we are? Don't deceive ourselves. That's why I put it on Facebook. A little video I extract, a little portion of the video I extract the last few weeks that I preached on about sincerity a bit. If there is no sincerity, there is no integrity. If there is no integrity, there is no honesty. Then what is left? Just self-deception. Think about it. You deceive yourself. Wow. And they deceive themselves and they're going to deceive others. And when they did that, that's iniquity. And iniquity, as I said many times, many Christians don't seem to realize. God hates iniquity. Alright, let's go to some verses of scripture. 1 Chronicles 21:14. And see what. You know, I want you to know that God, you know, man business, huh? Now this is King David. Yeah, was King David a good guy? You know, think about it. If you can answer me. Is King David a good guy? If those who are out there fellowshipping in group, you can answer one another. You can tell the brother or sister next to you. Yes, I believe he was a good guy. No, I don't believe he was a good guy. You can answer one another so you at least you know what you think. Well, you know, David wasn't a good guy, neither was he a bad guy. Because we're all born, you see, we tend to do certain things, though we want to be good. But there's none good, the Bible said. No one. If it wasn't for God dealing with us, we'll all be a big rotten mess. Here was King David in chapter 21. What did he do? And verse 1 tells you, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. You know, what did David do this? You know, because King David has already gone to a place where, you know, wow, he has already, you know, he's a great king, he has won many wars and all these things. And so, when there was time of peace, you know, after everything was calm and King David had nothing better to do, he got into mischief. Okay, Joab, come here. Can you number how big our army is? Count those men, you know, 20 at the bow, we're able to fight. You know, count them. Joab said, you're not supposed to do that. God is always fighting for us. But the Bible said that, you know, Joab, I know, here was John being a general, he wasn't a king. He was speaking, telling the king, you are giving advice to the king. You don't do that! You just keep quiet. But no, Job did not keep quiet. That's people, that's what happened back in those years. People tell me, Bergen, you should have respect for Brother Jackson. You know how the way they speak, sometimes they think I'm silly. Look, if I'm wrong, if I say something or suggest to do something, and my son don't think that what I'm going to do is not correct, he must tell me. He must speak his mind. No, 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 you should keep quiet. You don't tell an apostle what to do. You don't correct an apostle. You know, I carry all this back then, you know, when people are so cultic. Just that, you know, when I'm saying the truth, the problem, I make mistake. Oh, no, 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 you cannot say that. Who are you? If I don't say that, that means I'm alive. Because while I make mistakes, he himself said, I make mistakes. I told a brother here in Singapore, you know. He himself said, oh no, no, he said I only need to be humble. What? That puts me off. That's why we have a lot of fools. I use the word fools because they are, the Bible call them foolish people. I don't call them raka. Just foolish people. Just like Job's wife called, told Job, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job's called, foolish woman. It means that you fool. You don't know what you are saying. That's what it is. So here was, Debbie wanted to number, and Job said, no, you shouldn't do it, you know. No. King David was just telling you just do your job. And Job being a leader, he was just a general, do what he was told to do. So he reported to King David, there's so many men and all that. But you know what happened? Wow. God sent the prophet Gad to go to David. Now this is what here the Bible said here. Verse 7. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But one thing about David, was he a bad guy? No, he was not a bad guy. Was he a foolish guy? What? At times. But he was quick to realize when he knew that what he did was wrong, he repented. And he said, now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity. He called it iniquity of thy servant. Why? What was iniquity? Who was put in an unfair state? It was God. Because he thinks that he was the one that always fight and he wins. No, no, no. It was God fighting for you. For I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spoke unto God, David's ear, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose you one of them, that I may do it unto you. So God came to David and said unto, God came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee, either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before your enemies, while that the sword of the enemy overtake thee, or else 3 days, the sword of the Lord, even the pestilences in the land. And what did King David say? Now you've got 3 choices. My, oh my, that's hard, huh? God in business here. Verse 13. And David said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. He rather let God deal with him than having enemies come against him, or 3 years without food in the land. So means to say, if that's fair, now what do you do? You go to the enemy to buy. And the enemy, of course, will fight you too. So what happened? So the Lord sent a pestilence in verse 14, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. 70,000 men. What? Because of one mistake that King David do. One mistake he did. Does God mean what he says and says what he means? I trembled. The Bible says the devil also trembled. The devil believed and he also trembled. They trembled. Because they knew that God means business. But a lot of people and a Christian, especially an anti Messiah people, they think nothing of it. Why? Because they are so assured. I believe in Brother Branham. I have the token. I don't know whether I really do or not. I'm Brother Branham in Jesus' name. I believe in the serpent sin. They think that this is what is going to protect them. No, my brother and sister, it's not going to protect you. Huh? You can believe everything the Bible said from Genesis to Revelation. And you can still be lost. Because why? You believe. But what happened? You don't tremble and you don't fulfill it and do what the Word of God said. You just believe it. Yeah, I believe that God's created heaven and earth. Yeah, I believe the water baptism in Jesus' name. Yeah, I believe this, I believe that. You can believe anything and everything. It behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. That's why I tremble. To look into the Word of God. To look into the mirror. If I don't see myself in the mirror. And if I see myself in the mirror. All the dirty spots and the black spots where I'm not supposed to have. I need to have it washed. And not just as Paul said, look into the mirror. Behold whatever is there in the image. And then just go away. You know what I mean? And not even bother to do something about what they see in the mirror. What manner of man is that? So your all that is in the mirror, your image and what's happening in your life, and you know the mirror is a reflection of you. And you just walk away. You don't want to clean yourself up. You don't want to cleanse me, oh Lord. So let me say this one thing. Believe in this end time message don't mean you go into rapture. There are a lot of people that say out there, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm going to rapture. Don't believe in that. You think that is what takes them into the rapture? No. The question is this. Are you make ready? Because the Bible says the wife and make herself ready. Oh, I didn't know that. Now you know. Perhaps you know why God sent a message. He said we have so much thing to deal with. Be prepared for what is coming. Oh, yes. And you know because what David did. God sent a pastor and killed 70,000 men. He would have killed more. But you know what happened? David ran to a place of the threshing floor of a man called Onan. In verse 15. And the Lord sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. Oh yeah. God is so angry. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld and he repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough, stay thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite. See, the destroying angel that goes down there starts to destroy, one by one. And the pastor said, just take everybody down. Then he came to Jerusalem and started doing that as well. Then he came to the threshing floor of Onan. Onan saw what was going on here. He and his children hide themselves. And God saw what he had done. Oh my. You see, many times when you read the Bible. We don't realize that God has this passion. And that's why, because we don't read it and understand, because we say, oh, he's God. You know, the way sometimes we talk, he's God. Why do we have all this emotion? Why do we have all this passion? Because we were created in his own image. Do you get it? And because of that, he gave us all that he, you know, his very own makeup, his own image, the makeup. That's why I can see when he was upset and he went up to deal with the children of Israel, and one by one, all these men stopped falling down. Don't you think it hurt him? It hurts him. And so I said to the angel, stop it. Yes. And it was at the very time when he said, stop it, the angel was there and the threshing floor upon him. And David lifted up his eye and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand and stretched over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto the Lord, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? It is I that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for this sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me, on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. You see, the kind of person that David was is crying out just like what Jesus cried out when he was on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know what to do. David said, let it be upon me, don't take these people. And the good thing that happened here is because of this incident, David was able to buy this threshing floor from Ornan. Ornan said, I'll give it to you free. Even oxen for sacrifices and the wheat and meal offering. David says, no, I cannot offer to God something that is free. Let me buy it from you. And there in that place, he set up an altar. And that's why the temple was later built in that place. That's right. So remember one thing. The kind of person that David was. A man who committed a murder, so to speak, not directly by his own hand. Who sent his, because he loved, he fell for the woman Bathsheba, and then had her husband killed up there in the forefront of the battle, so that he could marry her. What kind of man was that? Through the weakness and the foolishness that he did, yet he realized, just as much as God realized himself, and stayed the hand of the dead angel. Oh yes. You see, God do his part to fulfill his word. And he wants you and I to fulfill the part of that word too. Because why? We are part of the word. If we don't fulfill the part of the word there, then our name is not in the word of life. Not in this book. That's what I love about, David. And as of what God says, he's a man after my own heart. Apple of God's eye. May we all be the apple of God's eye too. A burger there can only be an apple, one apple of God's eye. I said, how you hold it so? Huh? Have you ever eaten one apple? They say, "Oh, so delicious, I want another one." Yes? Right. So remember that. God wants His word to be done. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 7. I think that we all know that. Perhaps just to read it. Okay? And I always tell people to read this verse, these three verses, very, very carefully. Very few people really understand this. I don't know why is it. Yeah, I guess so. You know, sometimes I think they don't understand it's because they don't have the Holy Spirit or because they never seek the mind of God. Do you know when I was young and I studied the scripture, when I come across certain verse, passage of scripture, you know, that was never explained properly when I was in the system or when I don't find it in the book. I always ask, I prayed and wanted to know what is this, what it means. 7, chapter 7 of 21, 22, 23. Three verses. Not everyone that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. But he that do the will of my Father which is heaven. That's it. For everyone. You cannot say, Lord, Lord. Just because you call Lord, you want to enter in heaven. Remember that a little kind of what do you call that? I want to call that, I don't know, a little anecdote, whatever you want to call that, where they tell a little story about a man who said he's a Christian, and then when he died, and he stood before the pearly gate and a song. And then there was Apostle Paul was there. You know, he wanted to enter the pearly gate. And Apostle Peter, I mean not Apostle Paul, but Peter is the one actually, obviously Peter. Have you been born again? Yeah. Have you what? Yes. Has your name written in the book of life? And of course the person is saying, I was in the Baptist church, I did this, I'm in a choir, and that don't mean anything. Is that right? Have you been born again? Is a book written in the book of life? But I was a Baptist. I'm a Baptist when I was there. What is Baptist? And I think Peter asked, what is a Baptist? I think that's good. I'm a Presbyterian. What's a Presbyterian? Huh? I mean an anti-message. What anti-message? It's a name written in the book of life. If it is, if you are part of this book of life, you're part of the word that fulfilled that power. Part that belongs to you. Right. Verse 22. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Now this is a preacher. Of even a woman who prophesied. Alright. And in your name have cast out devils. And in your name have done many wonderful work. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now iniquity, as I said, is a very serious sin. All iniquities are sin, but not all sins are iniquity. Some people don't seem to get it. If you don't get it, just remember one thing. All dogs are animals, not all animals are dogs. Then you try to figure that out. Of all the sins that God hate the most, it's iniquity. Read my book on the sin of Adam. And you understand it. Alright. So now we go back to Revelation 10. We understand that now what the whole thing is all about in Revelation chapter 10. Huh? So now, I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians first, before I show you this chart. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, and which of course we all know very well, but let's read that verse carefully and not read it without understanding. Okay? All right. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud, to join the Lord in, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Get it? Now look at 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. Now, the Bible did not say the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice, and trump. Just like in the book of Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Got it? It's a manifestation of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Here, with, it means that there is coming a message. And each of these, with the shout, is one. Separate from the other, with the trump, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Now, when I was in a denomination, it's always common to hear them say that, oh, Christ, the rapture may come, the Jesus Christ will descend from heaven, and he will shout. I don't know what the shout is. They say, like calling your name. Okay, calling my name. Richard, give me, but Christ must have been speaking so fast. Or something like that. Oh, the voice of the archangel, the voice of the archangel's voice, very loud. And the trumpet being blown, and he's, I don't know, he blew a trumpet at the same time, and he's shouting at the same time, and he's speaking at the same time. I don't know how that is done. Of course, sometimes they draw an angel with the trumpet while he's shouting. You know, people have all that idea. Of course, you know, after everybody trying to learn something, interpreting scripture, automatically when you read something, you want to interpret what is being said. But one thing is for sure, if the Holy Spirit is not given to us, we cannot understand. And also, I said this many times, a revelation of God will only be revealed at a certain time to a certain people at a certain place. Got it? When the time is come for the revelation to be revealed at the right time, then the revelation will be revealed. To who? To a certain people. Where? In a certain place. You know, many people say, but again, just like I said this, when I was studying this, when I was writing the book on the Revelation chapter 10, I don't know what those seven thunders were. Though I read what Brother Jackson said, all those, you know, few contenders, and hear what he said, I still cannot understand it, because there was not much of an explanation that I could catch anything out of it. And I find it, and I even told, you know, when I was at a convention, there was this Canadian sister who, you know, we all stayed in a motel. So, in the afternoon, in our convention, in the morning and evening, so in the afternoon, we were all kind of free to mingle around. And this Canadian sister, there were three of them, they came, you know, to my room when my wife there was sitting on the top. And they were saying that, I don't understand what Brother Jackson is talking about. I don't see how he can be. And I said, well, she said, you know, what we do not know, the only thing is this. Just put it on the shelf. If it's not true, it will not be revealed to you. If you're a child of God, you have patience to wait. And that's all the year that I've been telling people. If you see something, read something that, even though you don't understand, but you think that there is something that makes sense. You know, because, well, he's a seven man. Okay, seven man. There are seven trumpets, there are seven this, seven that. Okay, there are seven men. Okay, but I know that there are just seven thunders, but what they are, I don't know. I put it on the shelf. So it takes how long? I don't know, maybe. But 2 years later, then is when God opened my eyes to that revelation. It was in a certain time when I was dealing with it, and in the certain time I was in the right place, when my mind was in the word of the Lord, then it was revealed. But you must have a desire to want to know. If you don't have a desire to want to know, you will not know. And when you know it, if you have a desire to know it, for what purpose do you want to know it? Because the Bible says the more they are given you, the more it is required of you. The serious about this whole thing, not because it's sweet to the mouth, yet when it will get into your belly, it's bitter. It's hard to produce that fruit. You know, we Chinese say, eat bitter. Jiakou, eat bitter. Bitterness is good for you. I mean, not bitterness against somebody. Yeah, bitterness when God is doing something in your life and you feel bitter about it because, well, my, I have to fulfill it. I have to produce that fruit. Of course. An attitude that is not producing a fruit, what happened? It's hewn down and cast into the fire. Serious! Oh yes, God is serious. But we are closer. Anyway, next week we just continue and we'll show that picture. For now. So as I said, they're going slow, little by little, putting the piece of puzzle together and be looking at what is coming and be prepared for it. Amen. The Lord bless you. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your grace. The many things, O Lord, surely you have for us. This treasure book of yours. What a wonderful book, O Father. Religious people in the world have their religious book. Truly, Lord, religious Christians have religious book, like the Bible as they would have it. But surely, Lord, you want your people not to be religious, but to be spiritual. To have the desire in their heart. To have the thirst for righteousness. To fulfill your word, Father. And surely in that you will reward your people. Yes, Lord. So, Father, bless thy word now then. For those who heard it, may their Lord meditate upon it. And as thy word would say, meditate day and night. Truly, Father, because your word is life. So bless now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.